That having been said, I will just recall very briefly what we were talking about last week. Last week we were talking about the first Rashi in Parshat Vayelech. On the words Vayelech Moshe and Moshe went, what does Rashi say? Floats. Vegomer. Vegomer. Etc. And we were trying to understand what does Rashi mean by his Vegomer. We said and elaborated basically on two approaches. One was that a human being has the responsibility to grow in terms of his closeness to God, his appreciation of the world, his study of Torah, his goodness to all mankind. You have to grow and grow until the very last moment of life. Vayelech Moshe is Moshe Rabbeinu's last day, while in many ways he's not going anywhere, but there's one way in which he continues to grow until the last moment of his life. A human being, in distinction to an angel, a human being is one who moves, he's a holy, he goes. And therefore, Vayelech Moshe, Moshe continues to grow until the very last moment of his life. There was a second shot in that we said, and that's the one we're going to elaborate on today. Vayelech Moshe, God has told Moshe that he's not to cross the Jordan. So what is he supposed to do? More than anything else in the world, Moshe Rabbeinu wants to cross. Cross the Yarden. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu does? He goes as far as he can. Vayelech Moshe. He's going to keep going and going toward Eretz Yisrael until the Rabbeinu stops him. Says, that's it. No further. We'll get back to that in a moment. The pshat that we elaborated on last week, which was really a major thesis that we tried to put into about 20 minutes to half an hour, was Vayelech Moshe, Rashi is saying, Rashi continues, that Moshe Rabbeinu continues on into history. Moshe didn't die, which signaled the end of Moshe. That's what Haman thought. Haman thought that the significance of the month of Adar is that Moshe Rabbeinu died in that month. What Haman didn't understand is that death doesn't apply to Moshe. And on the 7th of Adar, the day on which Moshe Rabbeinu died, on that day he was born for all of history. And Moshe Rabbeinu, for that matter, is the symbol of Klal Yisrael. The term death does not apply to the Jewish people. You can't destroy them, because they go on to Gomer, etc., etc., throughout history. Before we get to the main part of this year, there's another chapter that I found this year. Though the Shem Yishmuel, who was the son of the Avnei Nezer, the Admor Yisachachav, he's not talking about the Rashi, but he just wants to understand the meaning of Vayelech Moshe. On the first side, you have it in number 7. We'll just read a little bit of the Shem Yishmuel. Ulefizeh yesh lefareish. It's on the left-hand side of the page. Ulefizeh yesh lefareish. Hod Vayelech Moshe, she'enena halicha gashmit, ela ruchanit. Vayelech Moshe, the Shem Yishmuel says, we're not talking about Moshe Rabbeinu moving physically anyplace. Ella, it is a spiritual movement. But what does he mean by this? So he says, V'hainu l'toch libam shen yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the last day of his life, plants himself within the hearts and minds of the entire Jewish people. Vayelech Moshe Rashi says, V'gomer, and the next pasuk says, you know, that he goes to all of Klal Yisrael, he is moving into their hearts and into their minds. L'tok libam shen yisrael hichnasem korach shichli. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu does to the Jewish people? By his entering their minds and their hearts, he gives them an intellectual power, l'histakel be'enot v'kucha, to be able to look with open eyes al he'avar va'al he'atid, about the past and the future. Certainly one of the most important faculties that we may have, the ability to learn from the past and to be able in some way to anticipate the future, because the fact is that the survival of the Jewish people, the very survival of the Jewish people depends completely on that. This is what he did for them. V'lefkorach einayim ivrot, and to open eyes that are blind. V'hi, and that is ha'yishorach ha'morach va'asechel, to straighten that the mind, the intellect, should be straight. Yashar, yashar, yashar. Because it is, it's possible to be one who possesses great intellectual prowess. It doesn't really mean that the intellectual prowess is going to be used or going to lead to something that is yashar. V'hu king in Shebezor, HaKadosh, very important. There's a famous Zohar, and here he brings this Zohar. It's pashtuta de Moshe, the whole thought of the Torah. Moshe spreads out in every generation. There is something of Moshe in every generation. He continues on throughout history, in our hearts, in our minds, in our intellect, in the way in which we look at things. The Isa the Svarim HaKadoshim, the holy books say, Shahenu Har, the Isa the Talmud, the Talmud, the Shas. That's what's meant when it says a number of times in the Talmud, Moshe Shapir Ka'amrit. That's Aramaic, that sometimes when a rabbi made a very smart comment, they would say to him, Moshe Shapir Ka'amrit, he said good. Even though his name wasn't Moshe. But when somebody said something with brilliance, they attributed to this to the fact that the impression and the imprint and the impact of Moshe is there in every generation. Moshe, Shapir Kamet, Moshe, you said well. Shekido et ha Talmud Chacham, he has called the Talmud Chacham b'shem Moshe. The Talmud Chacham has a nickname, Moshe. V'asher bo bo nisfashtus Moshe lahoy enav v'halochos, because it is that spreading out of Moshe in all generations that has opened his eyes to understand that particular halacha. Kein nami yesh l'farish. That's how you can explain hod v'ayelach Moshe sheholach l'toch libo shel kol echad miyisrael sheba'oto hador. He went in to the hearts of every Jew in that generation. And therefore, in a sense, they carry Moshe Rabbeinu in their genes for all time to come. So I think that we have the right to say that Vayelech Moshe V'gomer, Rashi in this sense is saying that Moshe continues to live within the hearts and minds of V'gomer, etc. He keeps going for all time and in all generations. That's what we need there. Now we can go over to the second side. And here, it's really going to be something that's going to take us through a journey from Parashat Pinchas to Vayet Hanan to Ha'azinu to the end of Torah, Zot HaBracha. And the one who's taking us through the journey is the Meshech Chochmah, Reb Meir Simcha. But there's a, I have to admit, in all humility, that there's a stickled goal attached to the Reb Meir Simcha. Because Reb Meir Simcha's journey takes us to the end of Parashat Hazinu, but on the basis of what the Meshech Chochmah said, I've taken the journey a step further into Zot HaBracha, to the end of Torah. The problem that it deals with is the following. Number 10 and number 12. Number 10 is in Parashat Pinchas. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, God said to Moshe, Alei el har ba'avodim hazeh, go up onto this mountain, ure'eyet ha'aretz, and see the land,
Asher natati l'bnei Yisrael, that I gave to the children of Israel. V'ra'idota, you will see her. V'nasachta el amecha, and you will be gathered into your people. Gam ata kasher ne'asaf Aaron achiva, just like your brother died, you too are going to die. So God tells Moshe Rabbeinu in Parashat Pinchas, go see the land. I want you to go up to the mountain. You can't go in, but I want you to see the land. In number 12, we have Parashat Hazinu. Hashem is speaking again to Moshe. In a sense, it seems precisely, or nearly precisely, the same thing that he told him in Parashat Pinchas. But there are significant differences. Alei el har ha'avorim hazeh har nevo. Go up to this mountain that crosses over the mountain of Nevo. Asher be'eretz Moab, that is in the land of Moab. Asher al pnei Yerecho, that faces Yerecho. Ure'ei et eretz Canaan, and see the land of Canaan. Asher ani notein l'vnei Yisrael la'akuza, that I give to the children of Israel as an inheritance. Twice he's told to see the mountain. But there's a difference. There's a difference. So the first thing we have to understand, why twice? And obviously it's twice, it's because there is a difference between the two. Now we have to see what is the difference between the two. So we have to notice that in Parashat Pinchas he says, Ve'eyet ha'aretz, see the land, Asher natati l'bnei Yisrael, that I gave, past tense, I gave to the children of Israel. Parashat Hazinu, Ude'eyet eretz Canaan, see the land of Canaan, Asher ani notein, that I give, present, and one significant word is added, la'akuza, I give it to them as an inheritance. It didn't say akuza in Pinchas. So here there are two significant differences between the two. Now, I don't have my chumash here, but if I remember, there's another difference. Yeah. Please. In Pinchas it says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe. Now what does it say at the end of Parashat, here we are, at the end of Parashat Hazinu, yes, I should have had the pasuk before. The pasuk before in Parashat Hazinu says, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, Ve'etzem Hayom Hazeh Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moses on that very day, saying, what interests me is, in Parashat Pinchas, when Hashem speaks to Moshe, it says, Vayomer. And in Hazinu, when he speaks to Moshe, he says, Vayidaber Hashem. Vayidaber always signifies, in a sense, something that is firmer, stronger. It may even represent the idea of a halacha. All of Torah is Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor. Vayidaber Hashem. By the way, all of a sudden, oh yeah, I have another kasha, I never thought of it. When do you say the word Leimor? When do you say the word Leimor? Oh, this is, you've inspired me this morning with something. It was worth coming here this morning. Look what it says in Pinchas. Back you have on your sheet. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Why doesn't it say Leimor? Because this is a personal communication to Moshe. When does it say Leimor? When it's a halacha that is to be communicated to the Jewish people. Here in Parashat Hazinu, Vayidaber, trust me, it's here. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe. Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh Leimor. Go up to the top of the mountain. So why is it Vayidaber? And what's the Leimor mean? To tell it to who? This is a personal communication. Tell it Moshe to go up to the top of the mountain.
Thanks for having us on the show. Now let's take a look. This is a classic Nesha Chachma. It's worthwhile looking at it. Let's go through it. He begins here at the end of Havinu. He quotes what the Pasuk says in Pinchas. Now, he already assumes that you know all of the questions. And I've given you the questions. The difference between Natati, I gave, in Pinchas, and Ninotain, in Havinu. In Havinu it says, La'achuza, which it doesn't say there, and I'm adding the question of Vayomer, in Pinchas, Vayedaber, Leilor, in Havinu. So he says, Kimo Shamu Rabbi Pinu Zal Perakamoka Perot, our rabbi said, in Maseta Bava Vatla, the Omale Avrom, Kum Hitalev Vaaretz Lorko, Ulurabo, Kilechoe Venema. When our Rabbi tells Avrom Avinu, arise and go through the land, through its length and its width, because unto you I have given the land. So the Gemara explains, why does Avraham Avinu go through the whole land? Because wherever Avraham Avinu goes, he is, in a sense, preparing that land so that his children will go in his footsteps and it will be easier for them to conquer it. In a sense, Avraham is beginning the conquest of the land and his children are going to continue it. In another sense, Avraham is already beginning to take possession of the land and his children will complete it. Is there? Kol echad lefi ma'alato. What he's going to say now is the following. Avraham's greatness was his going. God tells Avraham, Avinu lech lecha, me'arzichom ro'laricham beit adicha, go. Vayelech Avraham went as God commanded him. Avraham goes through Eretz Yisrael, he walks through the land, he hikes through the land. His strength is in his movement. He begins a march of history. His marching through the land is, in a sense, the beginning of taking possession of the land. What's Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness? You know what Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness is? His ability to see. There is no one who has seen me face to face as Moshe is. Chazal say Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see Vasfaklarya Hamira. He was in a sense able to see God with clarity, that which no other prophet was able to do. Avram, feet of Klal Yisrael, he walked. His is a walk-a-thon for Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu sees. So the Meshechotah says, Avram the Mashe Hitalech Lefan, of each one according to his Madrega, Avram, his strength was that he went before God. And it means more than that. It says in the Torah that Moshe, God says to Avram, Hitalech Lefanai Vehayeh Tamim, walk before me. His religious experience is an experience of walking. God even says, go before me and be tamim. Ki hoyah mi merchak mi tzot haaretz rachok mi yidiyah Hashem yidbarah. He was there all the way out, far at the other end of the earth, far from the knowledge of God. Vimitgadel vimitchazek v'chachmat l'vavo. He became strong and great in the wisdom of his heart. L'hakir mitziyutom yidbarah, to see the existence of God. V'holach l'tarev atzmol Hashem. His journey began when he started walking closer and closer to God. As he walks through the world, you know what he does? He brings a message that there's a God who is one. There's an invisible God. As he goes, he makes the faith in God known and he calls people to believe in God. To Moshe, as it says, Vayikra Hashem Avram b'shem Hashem. Wherever Avram goes, he calls the name of God. Lachain, therefore, because Avram has made the great walk,
let's even call it the great leap, the leap of faith to bring him closer to God, and then the marching through the world to bring the message of God to the world. Therefore, there's strength in Avram Avinu's going, lichbosh ha'aretz, to conquer the land, ulahapil tzvah ha'shamayim mimal, and bring down the hosts from heaven above. Vilichbosh ha'amim ha'shiyu rakim ha'tchina, he is the one who has the power to conquer the nations of the world and to turn them into ground flour. V'chein b'moshe. Same thing is true of Moshe in the respect in which he achieves greatness. But Moshe Yitgadel, what was his greatness? B'hitgalut kod Hashem Yitbarach l'hamon am kulo. He's the agent through whom an entire people sees God. He brings down God from the very heavens so that they should see him. And God's divine presence in the cloud rested above them for 40 years. That's how we strengthen the foundations of faith. Therefore, the sight of his eyes had the power to cause. What Avram did with his feet, Avram Avinu was able to do with his eyes. What Avram did with his feet, Moshe did with his eyes. But Lachain Hayat Korakot Einav Ligrom Shatei Nichbeshet HaAretz Lifnei Bnei Yisrael. Zeu Shomer. And now, the way of going reads the passage, there's nothing that slips by him. We have the parashah at Hanan, Beth Hanan. Pasuk 25, number 11. Ebron over Eretz HaTova. Moshe Rabbeinu was praying to God, let me cross and see the good land that is on the other side of the Jordan. Vayetaber Hashem b'ilam anchem, and God got angry with me because of you. And what did he say to me? Pasuk 27, Chazdai. Alei Rosh HaPisgah, go to the top of the peak of the mountain, the Sa'inecha, and lift up your eyes, Yom of it, Tzafon of it, V'teimon of Mizrach, North, East, South, West, Ure'ei Be'inecha, Ure'ei Be'inecha. I think it's the Shem Yishmur that makes the comment, this is not the Meshech Chochma. What would have been wrong if it was just to say Ure'ei and see it? How's he going to see the land? He can see the land with his feet. What he's saying is, how do you see the land? The Rosh tells him, the Ebei Necha. Oh, so that, the Shem Yishmur says, oi, to look at her, to swell with the eyes of Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, that's different than looking at it with anybody else's eyes. But that's not the point we want to get to yet. He loads Havar at Hagarden, because you're not going to cross this Jordan. The next passage. Take a look at how the Meshachot learns the next passage. V'tzavik Yoshua v'chazkeu v'amtzeu k'men Yoshua, strengthen him and give him courage. Ki hu yavron shnei ha'amazah, because he's going to cross before this people. V'hu yamtzil otam, and he's going to give them as an inheritance. Et ha'aretz asher tireh, the land that you will see. What does that mean? What would have been wrong if the pasuk would simply have said, strengthen him, and he will cause them to inherit the land. What do you mean, Asher Tireh, that you will see? So the Meshech Chachma says, you know why Yehoshua is going to have the power to give the land as an inheritance to the Jewish people? Because you looked at it. The land Asher Tireh, the land that you looked at. Because I told you, Ude'ei Be'einecha, look at it with your eyes. Let's go back to the Meshech Chachma. V'zeu Shama, that's what it means when it says, V'hu, Yoshua, Yanchil Otamit Ha'aretz, Asher Tireh, Shekvar Kovsha Moshe B'de'ot Einav. Moshe already conquered the land with the sight of his eyes, Yoter Mashe Kovsha Yoshua B'Yisrael B'Milchamotayim. Moshe, looking at Eretz Yisrael, conquered it with more power and more strength than Yoshua and all the wars of conquest. Moshe Rabbeinu looked at it. Those eyes had such power, such power. V'lachein kibush haaretz. Now comes the more brilliance of the Meshech Chachma. Talked about it a number of times. How many times did Jews come to Eretz Yisrael? One of the Soloveitchik's questions in Al HaTshuva. How many times did they come to Eretz Yisrael? Three times. But the Vav said, no, I'm not interested in historically in how many times they came. Halakhically, how many times did Jews come to Eretz Yisrael? Twice. They came in the days of Yoshua, and they came in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. In the days of Yoshua, the Rambam says, Yoshua sanctified the land by conquest. 900 years later, the Babylonians came, and they conquered it back, and conquest cancels out conquest. So that the first sanctity of Eretz Yisrael disappeared in the ruins of the first Beit HaMikdash, because the Kedusha of conquest is cancelled by conquest. Then the Rambam goes on to say, what about the second time it was sanctified? The second time it was sanctified by Ezra and Nehemiah, it was sanctified by settlement. They settled the land. Ezra was a settler. Nehemiah was a settler. They settlement sanctified the land. Here the halacha is Kedusha Shnia, the second sanctity of the land. Kitshala Shata became holy for its time. The Kitshala Titlavo and became holy for all time. So the Meshech Chachma says, now you can understand the two silken. God gives two commands to Moshe. Command in Parshat Pinchas is, see the land that I gave to the Jewish people. And it doesn't say it's an inheritance, because that pasuk in Parshas Pinchas is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu's first look. And that first look represents the conquest of Eretz Yisrael by Yahushua. But that became part of history. It became part of the past. Hashem Otati that I gave to the children of Israel, it does not remain as an achuza, as an inheritance. But there's a second look. The second look of Moshe Rabbeinu, this already it foretells Ezra and Nehemiah returning from Golos Babel, the Babylonian exile, and they are now sanctifying the land for the second time. But that second sanctity is going to remain into eternity. We didn't have to sanctify the land when we came now for the third time, because it remains holy from then. Now we understand the psukim at the end of Al-Sinu, our Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, take a look at the land, Asher Ani Noten, that I give, and will continue to give to the children of Israel, La Achuza, as an inheritance for all time. Back into the Meshech Chachma. Thank you for saying it, because that's what I have to get back to now. Therefore, I understand that by Gomer, the by Gomer of Parsha Pinchas, because no hard and fast halacha is being established for all time, so it says by Gomer, and it doesn't say Lamor. But in Parsha Chazinu, when a halacha is being established for all time, a kedusha, not only the shata but la'atid lavo, this is bespeaks a halachic difference for all time. This is a halacha. Therefore, by Yitaber Hashem on Moshe, God speaks to Moshe Lamor. Tell them that second time around, it's going to be kitzel shata, the kitzel osimlo. Ha'achat. The words of the Meshech Chachma, Meshech Kavshu Olam Mitzrayim, but the Olam Mitzrayim, those who came up from Egypt. V'achas Meshech Kavshu Olam Babel was conquered twice, once the Olam Mitzrayim, and then those who came from Babel. V'hine Yadua, it's known the Meshech Kavshu Olam Babel, that which was conquered by those who came up from Babel, Halo Nishavak Kedushat, that sanctity remains for all time. The Kedusha Shnia, kitchalah tivago, because the second sanctity remains for all time. Umashi Kroshu Oli Mitzrayim, Lo kitchalah tivago, and that which was conquered by those who came up from Egypt was not sanctified for all time. That's why there in Parashat Pinchas it says, Udei et haaretz, asher natati, see the land that I gave to the children of Israel. But here it says, Udei et haaretz kanan, that I give l'bnei Yisrael achuz as an inheritance. Zeh mashikakshu oli bava, because this pasuk here in Ha'azinu refers to that which was conquered by those who came up from Babel. Shekedosha la'olam, it is holy for all time. Uka'achuza, it is like an inheritance. She'en la'hefzek, it has no interruption. Ve'ino nimkedet la'olam, it can't be sold, it can't be given away, and if anybody gives it away, it has no legal standing in halacha. Ki ra'ot einav shel Moshe, because what Moshe Rabbeinu sees with his eyes, chilkat ha'aretz ba'open ha'kibush, b'mashe tiel l'vnei Yisrael akuza, u'b'mashe yufsak, shekulun ba'yed nishon. When he looks, each look of Moshe Rabbeinu, one look tells us what they're going to have until the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, and what they're going to have when they return from Bava. By the way, there are of course a lot of, this is not a subject for Shia now, but there are many who attempt to explain to Rambam in what way is the settlement of Ezra and Nehemiah more powerful than the conquest of Yahushua. The settlement of Ezra and Nehemiah remains a sanctity for all time. And the conquest, the mighty armies of Yahushua with great divine resistance, that doesn't remain on this. There are many, many answers. I'll just give you two, one that's said by the Rav and one that's said by the little me. The Rav said, and he gave, there must have been at least 5-6 shurim which he discussed this at least, not many more. One of them he said is that when Yahushua came into Eretz Yisrael, he began the conquest of Eretz Yisrael by the periphery. The periphery. Yahushua started, conquered the south, went up along the coastal plain, came to the Galil, conquered the whole Galil, came down. Jews never got to Yerushalayim until 350 years later, in the days of David. And only then did Shlomo build the Beit HaMikdash, bring the Aron Kodesh there. The Rambam also says that there's a difference between Kedushat Haaretz, the sanctity of the land, and the Kedushat of Mikdash of Yerushalayim, the Beit HaMikdash of Yerushalayim. Because the Kedusha of Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, Aron Kodesh, Einod B'Tela, is never bottled, can't ever be removed. Because Kedushas Yerushalayim, the sanctity of Yerushalayim, is the Tnei HaShchina, because of the Divine Presence. U'Shchina Einod B'Tela, the Divine Presence is never removed. I tell you, I always love saying this Rambam more, since I moved here 20 years ago. I used to say it, this Rambam, you know, out there in the wilds of Chutz La'aretz, you know, like, I had this, something, you know, something going through my heart. And no, that's it. This is it. This city. You understand? This city is holy because of the Divine Presence. And the Divine Presence is not above. Ezra and Nehemiah, when they came back, they did not begin the conquest of Eretz Yisrael from the periphery. They went straight to Yerushalayim. And from Yerushalayim, the settlement moved outwards. So the Rav says that they took Kedushat HaMikdash to Yerushalayim, the sanctity of Mikdash and Yerushalayim, and they expanded it throughout the country. Since the second sanctity is built on Kedushat Mikdash Yerushalayim, which is because of the Divine Presence, then it's never blocked. Can't ever be removed. What I had said once is there's an amazing prophet in the middle of the Tokacha in the Hukosai that says the land was going to be desolate. The Shomua Aleha Ayyadechem Hayoshim, or your enemy who lives in the land, will be desolate. The Ramban, Rashi, the Sufri, they all say that right here, in the middle of the curses of the Tokacha and the Hukosai, good news for the Jewish people. The good news is that the enemy will never be able to settle the land. They're never going to have Nachas over there. They'll come here, they'll conquer, and they'll say, another conqueror is going to come. Nobody's ever going to set up a state over here. Nobody will establish a commonwealth. Nobody's ever going to be able to make it in this land. This is an unbelievable promise. The Torah says, the Shalom will allow you to pay them, your enemies are going to be desolate in this land. Nobody's going to shed Nachas and Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael will only respond to the ministering hands of Klal Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael simply does not respond to the stranger. I used to imagine, did Rashi, after he write this, did he ever get up in the middle of the night with a cold sweat, scared stiff? Who knows, 200-300 years down the line, the Japanese are going to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and Rashi, they're going to turn it into a Ganeid. Trust me, Rashi never got up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night. The Torah says, "V'shamu lo aleh yaveh," and your enemies are going to be desolate in the land. You can count on it. You can count on it. Nobody's been able to ever settle this land successfully except us. Just us. This was not a political statement. This was a Torah statement. Pure Torah. So therefore, I explained the Rambam in the following way. What cancels conquest? Conquest cancels conquest. If the Babylonians have conquered the land, then the conquest of Yahushua is gone. If you want to uproot the settlement of Ezra and Nehemiah, how can you uproot settlement? Is there somebody else that's going to settle? Settlement can cancel out settlement. But the Torah says that nobody will ever be able to settle the land. So there's nobody who can cancel out the settlement of the Jewish people. So therefore the second sanctity remains for all time. And if you see here and there something that looks like settlement, believe me, it's not. A ma'achaz, you understand, someplace in the Shandaran is more powerful than large buildings anyplace else. Okay. I have one. Yes? You sound like an Olam Chadash. Sounds very. In other words, the fact that the sanctity is because they could have chosen to remain in Babel when Levin and Lachin, I'm not good in your. What? And most Jews did. Most Jews did. They stayed there for another 1500 years. I like that. It's a nice job. We'll have to give it some thought. Now I want to go one step further. We finished the Meshech Chachma, but there's a fourth place in which Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to look at the land. There's a fourth place. The fourth place is at the end of Hazinu. And there you have it in number 13. Vayal Moshe me'arvot Moav el Harnevo Rosh HaPisgah. Here it is, he finally does it. Moshe goes up from the plains of Moav to Harnevo to the peak of the mountain. Asher al p'negid echo vayad eyu Hashem et kol ha'aretz et ha'gilad adam. Do you know what happens now? When it's finally number 13. Vayarei Hashem, God showed him a kol haaretz at Gilad Adam. There's something that was not said in Pinchas, nor was it said in Ver Kanan, and nor was it said in Hazinu. You know what God shows Moshe Rabbeinu? Kol haaretz. And he's going to describe to him what kol haaretz is. That kol Naphtali, that Eretz Ephraim and Menashe, that kol Eretz Yehuda on Hayom HaAchron, that HaNegev, that HaKikar, Bikat Yerecho, Ir HaTzmor Matzoa, Vayome Hashem Elov, Zot HaAretz, Hashem Yivdati LaAvron, Yitzhak Liyakov Lema, Lizaracha Et Nena, Hed Iticha Be'enecha. Do you hear what he's saying again? I showed to you with your eyes. What other way could he have shown it to him? Of course with his eyes. Do you know what the Rebbeinu is now saying? With your eyes, I've shown it to you, and you've now taken possession of it for Klal Yisrael. And you know what else he's taken possession of? You've taken possession of Kol Haaretz. And I'm spelling it out for you. why is Moshe Rabbeinu Zelcha to this? I say, you know why Moshe Rabbeinu Zelcha to this? Because by Yemech Moshe, the Rebbeinu tells Moshe, you're not going to cross the Yarden. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do until the last moment of his life? Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Rebbeinu, you're going to have to stop me. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. You'll have to stop me. But it is twisted up that Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbeinu now tells him, go up to the top of the mountain and take a look at it. You're not going to cross the Yarden, but you're going to conquer it. You're going to take possession of it. You're going to take possession of it, by the way. Listen to this. The Pasuk in Pinchas is talking about Yehoshua, the first entry into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem Atati that I gave. Ha'azinu is talking about the second entry into Eretz Yisrael, which is in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. Hashem Amino Tein Livnei Yisrael, that I give to the children of Israel. Right? Hazinu is talking about our coming to Eretz Yisrael. And you know what he says about our coming to Eretz Yisrael? That ultimately it's going to be cohorts. And you know, because I swore to Avram, Yitzhak and Yaakov, saying, Lezaracha et Nena, I've given it, and I'm going to keep giving it, and you're going to have cohorts, and I'm telling you precisely what are the boundaries. So I brought it down?
Yes.
Oh, right. We have the three places, right? So Pinchas, I said,
was the first.
Was the first. That's Yahushua. Ha'azinu.
Well, what's my
comment? Is Ezra. No. The Meshech Chachmet said that we're talking about the two times that he's told to look at the land. So he says, one is Pinchas, the second is Ha'azinu. Pinchas is Yahushua. Ha'azinu is Ezra and Nehemiah, when he finally comes to the end of Zos Habracha, there the Rebbeinu was talking about the third entry into Eretz. Because here he mentions, who does he mention here? Here he mentions Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, saying, L'zaracha et nena. This is already taking us all the way to ultimately climb this whole coming to Eretz and receiving kohorts. Yes? Yeah, that question was asked over here. The Meshech Chachmah did not count for Etchanan because that was part of a conversation between Moshe and God. And God tells him, "I'm going to take you up to the top of the mountain." But where does it say go up and be there? Pinchas, Hazinu, and Zatavah. We're not coming here a fourth time. Forget it. We're not coming here a fourth time. Meshech Chachmah talks about Pinchas and Hazinu, and I'm adding Zatavracha. All right. So that yes.
And he thought that
Rashi brings that, and he thought that now he could go in. Very nice, very nice. In other words, that indeed the conquest of Eretz Yisrael takes place because of Moshe. I remember at one conference a few years ago, and you know the feeling was that this is it, you know, we're going to lose half of Eretz Yisrael. It's going down the drain. We didn't know how far. We didn't know how far. So this great Talmud Chacham said that you know, Hashem told Moshe to look at Eretz Yisrael. So he said, you know, sometimes all that may be necessary, required of us, is to look at Eretz Yisrael, even if we don't have it. It's also okay, we can look at it. You know, I was there in the crowd, and I don't know why they started looking at me. They I mean, here's the rabbi killer, they expected me to, but I couldn't believe that the man is saying what he said. I just couldn't believe what he said. And he's finished.
I'm surrounded by a whole bunch of people, like, you know, why didn't you do anything about it? So I said, is that what he really meant? Is this what he said? He said, but not his basis in saying that if we lose you, Yudah, Sharon, Gaza, who knows what, if we lose you, that's okay, we'll be able to see it. I mean, I think the fact is, you don't stand it to see it, you can see it in a video, you can see it, I mean, internet, you can add it, they can see it. So as he came down, I told him to take a look at the Meshach Chochma at the end of Parshas Hazikah, where Meshach Chochma says that Moshe Rabbeinu's seeing of Eretz Yisrael was not just seeing, he was conquering. He was conquering Eretz Yisrael for all time. But anyway, he was a little taken aback. Okay. He didn't mean that. I just want to end with a few things, but just a few ideas that I expressed in the shul, and that we'll close on until we pick up again after Yom Tov. It says, "Vayehi achar hadvarim ha'ela, v'elokim yisat Avraham." It came to pass after these things, and God tested Abraham. Akedat Yitzchak, of course, is the fine theme that runs through all of the tefillot of the Yom Tov. We read it on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, but it's in the Davening Rata. Akedat Yitzchak Hayom Lizaro Veracham Tizkor. We say slichot every day now. There's one special slichot that's called Akedah. Every night or every morning we say slichot, it's Akedah. Everything is the Akedah. But there's a major question that's asked by all the Mefarshim. By Yehi Achar Advarim Ha'el, and it came to pass after these things for Elohim, Nisar Avram, he tested Avram. Because the great question is, when we test somebody so that we can learn. If he knows what he's supposed to know, will he pass the test? Won't he pass the test? Obviously, you can't say that about God. God knows. God knows precisely how Abraham is going to pass the test. So what does it mean for Elohim? He saw it, Abraham. Elohim tested Abraham. So there are three answers. Three of the major answers. One is the Rambam. The Rambam says, Ve'elokim nisat Avraham, the purpose of the test was not so that God should know how Avraham fared. The purpose of the Akedah was so the whole world should know why God chose Avraham. Let a whole world out there know that this was not some kind of a random choice, but that Avraham's faith and his devotion to God was that great that he was the natural one to be chosen by God. So the Rambam learns that the word Nisa means to raise like a banner for the whole world to see. The Rambam says, of course, the purpose of the test was not so that God should know what Avraham was capable of. The purpose of the test was so that Avraham should know what he's capable of. We never know what we're capable of doing until we find ourselves in circumstances that demand and require of us that we rise above what we are. We never know what powers and what strength and what ability and what fortitude we have until we're put to the test. Ve'elokim nisat Avraham. Elokim went ahead and he tried and tested, and he proved to Avraham what he is, what he can be. There's a similar idea expressed in that first communication for the Shvarach to Avraham, Lechlecha ne'artzecha u'minoladecha u'mibeit avicha el ha'aretz asher arecha. Go from your father's house here, birthplace, your land, to the land of Shirah Echo that I will show you. it should really say, Asher Are Otcha, the land that I will show you. What does the word Areka mean? So if somebody wants and says, Areka, go to the land where I'm going to show you what you are. Areka. I'm going to show you, Avram, what you are, what you're capable of. You don't have a clue what you're really capable of until such time that you're going to go through the experience of the journey to Eretz Yisrael and establishing yourself over there. So the Ramban says, well, Elohim served Avraham, not because God has to know what Avraham is, but Avraham has to know what Avraham is. The Baal Sefer of Ikrim says that the word Elohim Nisa comes from the word Nisayon. It's used in Hebrew, a Baal Nisayon is a person who has a lot of experience. There are things in life, in order to become good at it, you understand, you have to go through exercises, targilim, over and over again, until you finally get it. You keep doing it and doing it. Elohim Nisa, he tests him. Not tests so that he or Avraham should know, but you know, you have to do exercises. And if you do exercises, there are things that become absolutely natural to you. They become second nature. So that's what the Baal Sefer Ikrim of Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Aldo says. The Elohim Nisa et Avraham. So what I told my people was the following. In the present situation in which we find ourselves, which is a very, very difficult situation, make no mistake. Maybe we'll yet talk a moment about what one is supposed to learn. I mean, today is, in fact, 9/11. It should make a very big difference in the world. I have to say a few words about it later today at a conference of Alona Aleph. And I don't know, I get the feeling that a good part of the world hasn't learned a thing from 9/11. They just don't get it. European nations don't get it. I'm afraid in America some do get it, some don't get it. Thankfully, I think the President of the United States understands really what 9/11 is all about. In Eretz Yisrael, it's amazing. There are enough people here that haven't learned a thing. A profound tragedy that has transpired. And it's not a tragedy that was a one-time thing. It represents the idea that there's a struggle. There is a mighty force in this world called Islam, and there are forces within Islam that in fact want to take over the world. There's no question about it. We're up against a real threat. We're up against a very serious threat. And if you don't get it, it's at your own risk. So I said, Rambam says, well, Elohim Nisa et Avraham, God tested and raised Israel before the nations of the world, Avraham, so the whole world should know what Avraham is. I think the world knows that we're different. There's no question about that. We're different. Do they want to admit the extent to which we're different? I don't think that they want to admit the extent to which we're different. But the fact is, we're that we're raised different, separate, unique from the rest of the world. As far as the Ramadan is concerned, I think that's the most important one. I think that we've gone through a period of 2 years during which there were those who thought we would be broken by the onslaught of terror. And you know what they found out at the end of 2 years? Klal Yisrael is strong. Klal Yisrael is healthy. If 120% of soldiers, who even our own people told us, motivatia is so bad, we can't fight our enemies. And you know what we learned during the course of the last year? Oh, are we ready to fight against our enemies? We're a healthy people. Elohim Nisat Abraham, Abraham learned what he is capable of, and we learned that we're capable of a great deal more than we gave ourselves credit for. The only one that I have problems with is about Sefer HaEtzim. But you know, there are things you have to go through so that you get a lot of experience. I think we have 4,000 years experience. You think that that's not enough experience? I think 4,000 years experience is enough experience. And that in the place of Nisa, or King Nisa Israel, what the adventurers should start doing is Nisa for Israel. Tichle Shana Vinishyon Antel, let a year with all its testing and trying and proof of end. The Tachel Shana, let this be a year in which the Rebbeinu Shlomo, who is the only one who can get us out of the mess into which we got ourselves. No question about it. There's no pitaron that you need, there's no pitaron sa'i, there is only a pitaron shamayri. Only the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to get us out of this. He got sounds that we should be zeicher to vayena. Klal Yisrael goes, that gomer, we keep going, and nothing is going to stop us. And you know where we got this from? We got this curl from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's pashtuta the Moshe, the whole Boradara, the Korach of Moshe going, spread out throughout all generations. Gemar Chatzimah Torah.